Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, message feels a little weird because the intro was all about, oh, we're at a different venue, we're out in the park, blah, blah, blah. So got to change it up a little bit this morning, but I'm so glad that we are together, and I'm so glad to be able to be with you. I promise you, I know we got kiddos in the audience, and so I promise this is a little shorter message than normal. I already had it that way anyways, but it's a little shorter message in the first place, all right? Now, you might remember that last week we started a new message series that we're calling Family Reunion. In this series, we are just looking at who we are as a church family. And last week, we looked at our mission together as a church. And if you don't remember it, I'm going to say it to you so we can just kind of get it ingrained into who we are. All right. But it is this: it's as a family of faith growing together to show Christ's love to all. That is who we are. And we broke that apart a little bit last week and what that means. But that is why we exist. That's who we are as a church family, that we are loving one another. And we're loving Christ, and as we do that, we are an example to this community of what it looks like to be the love of Jesus. And so we're showing his love to everyone that we encounter. Now, I have a question for you this morning. Do any of you guys have like specific routines at your house? Like maybe mom gets up and she gets the coffee going, starts breakfast, dad jumps in the shower to get ready for work, and kids' alarm goes off at 6:30. Any of these routines that you guys kind of regularly have? I figured that was the case, right? Most families have a regular routine or a rhythm or even habits that are part of their daily life. Well, it's no different with the church. And I mentioned this last week, but we as a church, we have four habits that we believe as Community Fellowship that are important for every member of this church to be practicing and participating in. So we're going to look at the first of those habits this morning, all right? So if you have your Bible, or if you want to grab a Bible in front of you, or I was thinking we were going to be out there, if you have it on your phone, right? If you'd like to turn with me to Hebrews, we're going to be in Hebrews 10, and we're going to start in verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, so let me give you a little context of this passage before we kind of dive into it, all right? So this is the author of Hebrews. We don't know who that is, but this is the author of Hebrews, and he's writing to a church community that is suffering intense persecution, so much so that they're thinking of going back into their former religion of Judaism. So as they're kind of having this pressure from the outside and this persecution, they're thinking about going back to Judaism. And so the author of Hebrews is writing, and he's saying, listen. And he goes through the whole letter, and if you were with us in the fall, you might remember we walked through Hebrews, and I encourage you for the rest of the context and kind of the rest of this letter to go back and to listen to that series, because we walked through that. But we said the main aim of the author is to show that Jesus is greater. Don't go back into Judaism, because Jesus is better than that old system that you used to be a part of. And so he's kind of arguing that through the entire letter as he's doing that. But what I want to see for us today is I want us to see this truth, that under the pressure that they are facing, it's clear that some of the people that are part of that church are starting not to meet together with the rest of the church. And I don't know if that pressure was because, you know, they were facing some kind of backlash in, you know, the market square, and people weren't buying from them, or if it was the fear of their own death. But it's very clear that the author says, hey, there's some of you guys that are giving up on the habit of meeting together. You need to continue to meet together. Okay? And so that's kind of where we stop and pause. This is our first habit as a church. Our first habit as a church is that we are gathering faithfully as humble worshipers, giving honor and worth to Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, and our King. Okay? And so we want to break this apart a little bit. Let's break it apart. So the first habit is that the first part of that habit is that we gather. We gather together. Look back at verse 23 with me. Look what the author of Hebrews says. He says this. Despite persecution, he's giving these people three reasons that they're supposed to gather. The first one is to encourage each other to stay true to their faith. Stay true to their faith. The second, to encourage each other in the way they love one another. And the third is to encourage each other under this persecution. So he gives them reasons for gathering together. And these three reasons are still the reasons that we gather together as Christians today, and that we as a Christian church gather together as well. And it makes it really easy when we look at that word gather to define what it means. It means to get together. All right? It's super simple. Not a hard word for us to understand. It just means that we get together. Now, I want to make sure that you understand what this means, though. It doesn't mean that it has to be on Sunday morning. Okay? When we get together, we're faithful to getting together even throughout the week. So it can be that we were at the park, we gathered together. It could be here on a Sunday morning that we gather together. It could be through the week that you're at Glory Bean, you're meeting up with people, and you're gathering together with them. That's what the church does. We are a gathering type of people. In fact, did you know that the word in Greek for church, ekklesia, it actually means gather together. That's what it means. It means to gather together. So we are a people who gather together. Now, I don't like to remember this time. It was a really difficult time, not just for me, but I'm sure for you as well. Now, when I say the dreaded year 2020, you might think of COVID and just how horrible and awful that was. And if you were anything like the DeWitt family, we love people. We love getting together with people. And so it was very frustrating to be told you can't get together with people, right? Now, some of you are probably little rebels and you did it anyways, didn't you? That's what I thought. We did too. I'm not saying that we didn't. We did too as well. But a lot of times, some of that was just online, right? We got online together. We'd FaceTime together. We'd play games together. But I remember very distinctly when it was like, hey, now you can go ahead and you can meet together in public spaces and it's okay. It was like, oh, you know, you were just so excited to be able to go and be with people again. That's the feeling that we as a church should have whenever we gather together. We love being with you there. It's almost like, man, it's been a whole week since I got to be with those people. I can't wait to be with them again. Like, that's the feeling that we should have when we gather together, because that's what the church is supposed to be about, right? Loving each other when we gather together. Yeah. Here's the thing. Paul's saying that our desire should be about looking forward to what we get out of it rather than what we bring into it. Excuse me, I said that wrong. That's the other way around. I'm sorry. Not what we get out of it, but what we bring into it. That should be our desire, right? That should be our desire. Listen to what pastor and commentator William Wiersbe says. He says it this way. It's interesting to note that the emphasis here is not on what a believer gets from the assembly, but rather what he can contribute to the assembly. So that's our heart. Our heart is not, what am I going to get out of Sunday morning? But our heart, or when we gather together, anytime we gather together. But what can I give to someone else? What can I give to someone else when I get together with them? And so here's the question that should be on our hearts, right? I hope this is the way you are when you come together with us. Does God have a person on your heart when you walk in on Sunday morning? Like, is there somebody in your mind that you're like, man, I just really want to be able to pray for that person. I hope that they're there today so I can go and pray for them. They've been on my mind and my heart all week, and I hope that I can get together and pray for them. Or maybe it's, you know, something that you know that there's a need that somebody else in our church has. And you're like, man, I can't wait to be able to help meet that need. Because that's the heart of the church. When we gather together, it's about what we bring into it, not about what we get out of it. Right? You've seen that so many times. We've seen that so many times where people just come and they just sit and observe and they're just an observer in church. That's not what church is. Church is about what you bring, that you're coming and you're wanting to give something to someone else, some other way to bless them. So here's what Paul says. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14. What shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So even Paul's saying, hey, all of us should bring something when we gather together. In fact, our gatherings are incomplete without you present. I'm just going to stop and let that one linger for a second. When we gather together, it doesn't matter that, it does matter that I'm here, but I'm not the only thing, right? The worship team is not the only thing. Like, you matter. You coming into this place, you matter. When we gather together and you're not here, we're missing a part of who we are. It's important for you to come because you help contribute and you help build up the body, exactly like Paul is saying. We're actually hurting when you're not here. That's what Paul says. It's like the little pinky toe, right? Anybody ever had their pinky toe like taken off? I knew a guy that did. It's very weird to walk, right? You wouldn't think so. You're like, oh, just a pinky toe. But it's actually very difficult to walk. You're a little bit funky, right? That's how we are. When you're not here, you're the pinky toe. We're missing you. We need you, okay? So our gatherings are incomplete unless you are here. And that leads us to our next part of our habit, okay? We gather, but we do this faithfully. We do this faithfully. And this is where the habit gets a little bit harder. And I'm speaking of toes. I might step on a few toes, okay? Because when we look at that word faithfully, we're saying that we're committed to this. We're committed to this. It's important to me. It's a priority for us to get together. Now, here's the question for you this morning. Is gathering together faithfully with this group of people a priority for you and your family? Is it a priority for you and your family? I was doing some research this week, and it was a little disheartening, actually. I was trying to do some research on what does church attendance look like for the United States church, and I'm just going to read you some statistics. It says, the most recent research, it says that 70% of the church, so that's 7 out of 10, right? 70% of the church, they come once a month, and they define that as regular attendance. Once a month. So that means, essentially, only 30%, 3 out of 10, will be here weekly. That's just weekly. That's not daily. That's weekly. That's a very staggering statistic to think about. And like we said just a second ago, if someone's not here for 3 weeks out of that month, we're missing you. We are hurting because you're not here. I'm not trying to be legalistic, really. I'm really not. I'm not trying to be legalistic about this. I just want us to understand that when we gather together, it's important that we do this and that you are needed in our gathering together. Because here's the thing. You may be seeing people through the week in East Bernard. You may see them at the coffee shop, right? You may see them at the ball game. But here's my question. And if you are, that's awesome. That's gathering. But are you encouraging them in Jesus Christ? Are you praying for them? Are you speaking to them of what God has told you? What God's been speaking to you? Are you encouraging them in their faith to stay strong? Are you praying over the temptations that they're dealing with? Because if you're not here, I doubt you're doing it through the week. Right? Because it's a lot harder to do it. It's a lot harder to do it when you're out there in public. That's why we gather. That's why we come together. And that leads us to our last habit, last part of the habit. We gather faithfully as humble worshipers. So here's what that means. As worshipers, we ascribe value to someone or something else outside of ourselves. That's what worship means. It means to give, to attribute value to something outside of yourself. And for us as the church, there is only one person that we say is the most valuable and deserves all of the worth and all of the honor, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the one. In fact, one of our core values says, as a community church says this, we are centered on Christ. He's what drives everything that we're about. That means we're going to honor him above all things. We're going to find our own value. We're going to find our own identity in him as we pursue relationship with him as our merciful Savior and as our conquering Lord. He is our reason for gathering. Everything we do together is going to push us towards Jesus. Otherwise, we're just a club. So everything we do is going to push us to know him, to love him, and to serve him more. Now, worship's a two-part deal. We ascribe honor to Jesus, but there's also another part of worship. The other part of worship is that we give an offering to God, and we honor him how he deserves through our prayers and our worship. That's one part of it. But it's also living our lives for him. That's worship as well. It's not just singing. Worship is how we live the rest of our life as well. Look back at verse 24. It says that we get together to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So as worshipers, it's not just about checking the box on a Sunday morning. No, Sunday morning should be fueling us. It should be that we gather together, we love on each other, we pray for one another, we worship and celebrate who God is, and that's fueling us to go through the week to have conversations with those who do not know Jesus, to those who are hurting us, those who have been unkind to us, that we would love them well. And so we come in here, we fuel ourselves, and then we go back into the world. Jesus says it this way, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're supposed to let our light shine to others, to those who are hurting, those who are broken, those who are needy. Our gathering together is supposed to spur us on to love each other, but also to love the world. That's why we get together. That's why it's so important for us to get together. And most people, sadly, they don't have people who love them like this. Even a lot of families, unfortunately, it's really sad, even a lot of families don't love the way that the church is called to love one another. And so it's heartbreaking to watch. But we are supposed to be known for that type of love. We're supposed to be known for that type of love. We mentioned it last week, sacrificial love. Love that would deny itself to see that someone else's need is taken care of. So when someone in this church is hurting, we as the church respond and we meet those needs. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful because since I've been a part of this church, I see it happen all the time. And it's so amazing to be a part of a congregation and part of a church that loves each other so well that they would meet needs like that. When they know of a need, you jump to it and you go and you serve it. But that's what love looks like. It's tangible, right? It's a tangible, tangible thing. Now, the author of Hebrews, he's encouraging the church to gather faithful. And he says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, most of your Bibles are probably going to have that word day capitalized, right? Does everybody see that? Has the word day capitalized. That's because it's a specific day. He's not just talking about like today. It's a day. And that day is the day that Jesus Christ comes back. We're supposed to push each other and encourage each other because he is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to make all things right. He's going to make all things the way that they were supposed to be. And so we're pushing each other and loving each other and encouraging each other and worshiping together until that day happens when he returns. And then we're face to face and we're with him. So whether it's persecution, ridicule, death, we're supposed to continue to gather together faithfully. Faithfully. So, I can think of no better way to end this message, and I hope this is okay, Isaac. I hope this is okay. But I can think of no other better way to end than for us to end in worship. Are you okay with coming back and just singing one more song? Okay. I should have asked him before. I'm sorry. Should have asked him before. But there's no better way that I can think of than for us to just stand and to worship together as one body collectively to say how worthy Jesus is, but how much we love each other. I'm going to pray. Isaac's going to close us in one song.
Stay up here and worship with
me. I will, absolutely, absolutely. Father God, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for these people, God, that I've come to love so much, and I know that they love one another. God, would you help us when there's times when we feel a little bit fractured, when we feel a little bit disoriented, a little bit away from each other, God, would you help us to be committed to gathering together? God, that when we feel a little bit frustrated or if we're upset with someone or we're hurt by someone, God, would you help us to remember that gathering together is such an important part, such an important habit for us to have, and that we wouldn't let that be the thing that keeps us from gathering with your people. Father, we thank you again for Jesus' love. We thank you for who he is, and we just want to give him value and worth and worship right now as we sing this last song to him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.